Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Podcast on RadioMD, iHeart, or wherever you downloaded it from. Thanks very much for downloading it. Hopefully you'll rate us and tell your friends about us. We have a wonderful guest. This is 918B. The B segment is always the guest segment of our podcast. And thank you for listening. Elaine Schulte is a physician who has co-authored Caring for Your Adopted Children, put out by the American Academy of Pediatrics. That's about as good a stamp of approval as you can have. And Elaine is a well-decorated physician. She was at the Cleveland Clinic and was medical director of the adoption program here, is now the medical director at Children's Hospital at Montefiore. In addition, she's professor of pediatrics at Albert Einstein and the mother of two adopted children, lives in Westchester, and is vice chair of the Department of Pediatrics in charge of academic affairs and faculty development. We miss you.
I miss Cleveland as well.
I don't, that laugh gave it away. I don't think you really do, but in any case, we do miss you. Kristen Kirkpatrick, who you helped with an adoption, or two actually, says hello to you. Why, part of the book is, if you will, one of the hallmarks of this book, Caring for Your Adopted Children. By the way, you can go to shop.aap.org and put in the search engine adoption and you'll find it. Or you can go to Amazon, Caring for Your Adopted Children. Schulte is spelled S-C-H-U-L-T-E. But why do you say consult a pediatrician first? Is that mandatory? Is it usual? How many people do that?
So that's a great question, and it's a very common question that parents ask. Nothing is mandatory, but we've learned through the years that the better prepared a parent can be as they enter into parenting, whether by birth or adoption, the better off things will go down the long run. Many parents seek prenatal visits with their prospective pediatricians, and a pre-adoption visit with a pediatrician is really no different.
So now, if you say, in just listening, well, I never expected to see a pediatrician before I had a child, why should I do it now then? Is there anything special about adoption? In other words, it seems to me adoption has a lot more nuances, if you will, and maybe they aren't so subtle nuances. That is, where did the child come from? What diseases are common in that area? Is there a family history of X, Y, or Z? What do you go over with them?
Yeah, so you're absolutely right. There are some things that are, you know, going to be blatantly different, and then there are other, you know, more nuanced things that I think are important for parents to think about. Beginning, of course, with the birth family's medical history, which you may or may not know, the prenatal history, which you may or may not know, and then what happened at birth and what happened after birth prior to the adoption. And these are all questions that we want parents to think very carefully about. Some children have known diagnosed medical conditions, and parents need information about those medical conditions so they can make an informed decision as to whether, you know, this is a child, you know, who they feel comfortable and capable of caring for, and can, you know, other things like, you know, well, how will this child fit into our family? We already have children in our house. How will this, you know, affect them and our community? They also need to think about, again, these pre-adoption exposures, whether, again, it was adverse, you know, maternal conditions like poverty or substance abuse or alcohol consumption or mental health issues, and, you know, all these things, unfortunately, are more common for children who are adopted than for kids who aren't. And, you know, parents generally want to do the best thing for their children, and they think that, well, you know, we'll bring a child into our home and, you know, provide, you know, appropriate nutrition and lots of love and things will just be better and we don't have to worry about what happened prior. But that's not necessarily the case. And, you know, that's one of the reasons we wanted to write the book, because we want parents to be realistic. And, you know, as all good doctors, we want our families to be as well-informed as possible so they can make that right decision. And then down the road, you know, even if their child is extremely healthy and is enjoying a wonderful childhood, things will pop up along the way. And we don't want parents to forget that, you know, there is this piece of history that may or may not be known or well understood, but it actually informs a child as they grow up at various points in time.
Now, one of the things you point out here is the difference between, I guess you'd call it a domestic adoption versus an international adoption. Are the kids healthier in one or the other? And talk to us a little bit about those differences.
Yeah, so that's always, you know, like one of the $64,000 questions, you know, where is the best place to go to adopt a child? What is the best age, you know, where, how can we make sure that, you know, we are going to get the healthiest child as possible? And unfortunately, there is no great answer. There's certainly no scientific answer that tells us that, you know, domestically adopted children are healthier than children who are adopted internationally. Much of it really depends on the child's history prior to adoption. I've seen, you know, hundreds of kids who've come out of institutions where they've been neglected and malnourished. And surprisingly and amazingly, most of these kids do absolutely fine. And I always scratch my head and say, how can that be? But it is. You know, kids are remarkably resilient. And, you know, we would love to say love and nutrition takes care of all these things. And it doesn't really take care of all these things, but it certainly makes life much, much, much better. Kids who are adopted as newborns domestically seemingly would have the best outcome because they're with their adoptive parents from day one. But there's a reason that those kids are placed for adoption when they're newborn. They were born either into or were, you know, conceived and carried in probably some pretty difficult circumstances. And again, whether it was poverty or malnutrition or mental health challenge or challenge with alcohol or drugs, you know, that's not a good way necessarily to start forming a life. And, you know, there will be family history there of some of those things. And some of those things, as you know, are inherited and you're going to be looking for those things down the road. So adopting a domestic newborn is not always, you know, sort of the best, if there is a best way to go. And then there's kids who are adopted from foster care. And, you know, we don't think about these kids a lot because parents often want to sort of write them off as kids that are hopeless. And I'll tell you, these kids are not hopeless, and they deserve a wonderful home just like any other child. And oftentimes, particularly if you can adopt kids from foster care, you know, the younger they are, the more likely they are to have, you know, a wonderful long-term outcome. But again, you know, no guarantees, just like with your birth children. And again, another reason we wrote the book, because we want people, you know, to be informed and to think about all of these things, not just medical conditions, but their developmental needs, their behavioral needs, their emotional needs.
Well, you also talk about the first visit of the child, or the first visit to the pediatrician, and then the follow-up visits. Talk to us a little bit about that. What would a typical first visit be like?
Sure. So unless you're adopting a domestic newborn, where that visit's going to be pretty similar to what it would be like if you brought a baby home from the hospital, all the other types of, you know, first visits for adopted children are pretty comprehensive. There's a lot of discussion initially about what do we know about this child prior to placement? What was the birth like? What do we know about the birth mother? What do we know about the birth family? Where did this child live? How many different placements was this child involved in? Who were this child's friends? What healthy relationships did this child have? all the medical history. Sometimes there's no medical history available. Sometimes there's a lot of medical history available because the child has a known medical condition and, you know, was born in the United States. If the child's born outside of the United States, there's all these sometimes medical records that need to be evaluated and interpreted and, you know, trying to figure out what exactly happened to this kid. Sometimes
now,
the children now, have surgery.
Do people look at these before they adopt? In other words, you're talking to an absolute rookie here, Elaine. So
yeah.
Tell me.
Yeah, no. You're right. So, you know, we do pre-adoption consultation, and there's a section in the book about what that entails. But again, parents will get medical records from other parts of the world, and sometimes they'll get birth records from, or they'll get records from the birth mother if the child's going to be born in the United States. And during those pre-adoption visits, we review those records and interpret the records and, you know, give our opinion to the parent about the potential health, both medical and developmental health of the child based what's on the pieces of paper. And again, we don't necessarily believe that everything on those pieces of paper, things are accurate. If it's a birth mother's record from the United States, then we can pretty much believe what's on the paper. But in other parts of the world, it's very difficult to know the accuracy of the information. But it's important to interpret and explain to parents, again, so they can be informed of what potentially may come down, you know, down the pike. But once a child shows up in the office, again, there's all this review of medical, of information. There's a lot of discussion about sort of what the transition has been like from the orphanage into the family or from foster care into the family. What's the child's day like? What's the life like? How are things going with feeding and sleeping? And what's the behavior like? And then there's a very comprehensive medical exam. For some of these children, they may have never really had a comprehensive medical exam where someone has looked at every sort of inch of skin from head to toe and done a really thorough evaluation. And then there's laboratory evaluations, particularly for kids who are coming from other parts of the world, looking at their nutritional status, looking at their exposure to infectious diseases. There's stool examination, there's blood testing, and then we have to figure out what immunizations the children need. And, you know, for kids from the U.S., sometimes it's a little bit easier, but not always. For kids coming from other parts of the world, again, it usually involves some blood testing to see if the child's responded to the immunizations that they have received, or at least that are documented, and then figuring out what they need going forward. So that's the first visit, and that usually takes at least an hour to an hour and a half.
And then the follow-up, one of the questions we had here that was sent by a listener when we tweeted that we were going to be interviewing you on the subject was, how much judgment do you do of the parent, and is there a risk they will lose the adoption if they see you first?
I'm not sure exactly what that question means. I don't.
Meaning, are they being judged? I guess what she's saying is, are they being judged by you or by someone, whoever they see, and is that a risk from them, for them?
If she's talking about, you know, someone who's fostering and then they're pursuing the adoption and, you know, if I was to see the child as a foster child, I don't get into any sort of making judgments or evaluations about the quality of parenting. That's not my job. I mean, there are adoption agencies and caseworkers and social workers who, sort of deal with those sorts of issues. But that's not a pediatrician's role to make determinations about the quality of parenting, if I understand that question correctly.
I think you do. Thank you.
Okay.
And the if you will, the other subjects that you cover in the book, and there's some very interesting things, starting school and watching for differences. What do you mean by that? Are they learning different? Are foster kids, how much of the learning, I guess, is nurture versus nature is how I guess.
So you're right. That's another, you know, $64,000 question. It's always hard to figure out. And what I tell parents, all parents, whether the kids are adopted or not, you know, we don't always know why something happens to a child. You know, what we need to do is support the child and make sure they get the services they need. So, you know, whether it's, I always say, whether it's prenatal or postnatal, or maybe the adoptive parents just aren't doing a great job of parenting. Like, we never really know why. We just need to address what we see and support the child. So adopted kids as a whole are more at risk of developing learning challenges and attention challenges. So that's really important to know off the box. So we're always looking for those things, and we're asking questions about it. And, you know, sometimes the school is more informed about these issues, and sometimes they're not. A lot of times they like to label kids as having attention problems, and really, you know, that's just the tip of the iceberg, that, you know, they're other experiences are, you know, presenting as attention problems. So maybe they have a learning disability, or maybe they have PTSD, or they're struggling with other mental health challenges that may or may not be related to the adoption. Maybe it's part of their family medical history. Hard to know. But again, as adopted children as a whole, we need to be a little more aware that these things are more common. And we talk about that with parents, you know, at every single well visit, and, you know, try to inform teachers as well.
And if you had to say, well, first of all, let me get back to a basic question I normally ask. Why did you write this book? In other words, Elaine, this writing a book, a medical book for information, is a real labor of love, because there usually aren't a huge amount of sales. And there is a huge amount of work, and especially because you don't write it all, you're not a professional writer. So why did you do this?
Right. Yes. So this book was really born out of the idea that there are no other books for parents who've adopted in terms of helping them, sort of like, you know, the manual, how do you take care of a kid? There's a lot of books about, you know, how you raise a child. The American Academy publishes books about that all the time. But there were no books that were written taking into consideration that your child is adopted. And as we've discussed, there are many unique aspects of adopted children that we want parents to think about. And, you know, I've had parents ask me, isn't there a resource that I can, you know, read about? You have so much, you know, knowledge and expertise. Isn't this in a book someplace? So the Academy approached me and asked if I would write this book. My co-author, Robin Michelson, is a writer and an editor, and she's an adoptive parent. And this was her idea, and she needed somebody who had the content expertise. And so we put our heads together, and that's how the book idea was born.
Well, congratulations on a book, Caring for Your Adopted Child, An Essential Guide for Parents. It's sponsored by the American Academy of Pediatrics. You get it from shop.aap.org and then search adopted. We've been talking with Elaine Schulte, who's MD, MPH, FAAP, which means she's well established. She's director of the program for adopting children at, tell us, because I would say at Albert Einstein, but it's actually at Montefiore Hospital. It's the Children's Hospital at Montefiore. And she's vice chair of the Department of Pediatrics, in charge of faculty development, as well as a mother of two adopted children. How old are your children?
My kids are 21 and 22.
Wow. So do you still see them?
Time flies.
Have they gone away? I guess you can have.
Yes, we still see them.
I guess you can say that, if you will, that when you became an empty nester, you took on this labor of love. So thank you for writing a great book, and thank you for being here.
Yes.
And fondest regards. Caring for Your Adopted Child, An Essential Guide for Parents. It really, and I will tell you from Kristen Kirkpatrick, who is someone who has adopted two children with Elaine's help, it is a great book. Thank you very much, and thanks for being on the Owner's Manual podcast. Thanks, Darian, for wonderful engineering, but especially you for downloading us and listening to us. A B segment every week, an A segment every week. The A is the news of the week and what it means to you. The B, a wonderful guest like Elaine Schulte, who can tell you what's so important in life. Thanks again, Elaine.